You know, it's interesting. I don't know about you, but I have seen, you know, maybe it's because of COVID, maybe it's because of my age, I don't know. But, you know, I read more obituaries than I think I've ever read in my entire life. You know, I mean, it just seems like they're always. And I started to think about the obituaries, that how they're always worded, you know. I mean, and what maybe perhaps I'd want my obituary to say someday, you know. As I thought about that in the year 2020, I decided to look up four significant sort of recognizable people and read their obituaries. And I want to read you about the first paragraph of each person I picked. I think you'll recognize all the people. The first one's Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, who has died at age 41 in a helicopter crash, was a basketball phenomenon, a transcendent, if enigmatic, superstar whose rare talent bridged the gap between Michael Jordan and LeBron James in the American National Basketball Association, and in the global sport basketball has become. Bryant had retired only 3 years before his death, after a 20-year career in the NBA, all of it with the league's most glorious team, the Los Angeles Lakers, with whom he signed his first contract when he was only 17. The next one I picked was John Lewis. The life of U.S. Congressman John Lewis, who has died at age 80 after suffering from pancreatic cancer, is a paradigm for the history of race relationships in the United States over these eight decades. Born into segregation, Lewis took a leadership role in civil rights protest as a young man and was at the heart of many of the most crucial and dangerous events in that movement. He was beaten by the Ku Klux Klan and by the police, jailed repeatedly and continually forced to move forward while ignoring friendly voices warning him not to push too hard against the apartheid legislated in large parts of America. The next one for you Canadians, Alex Trebek. George Alex Trebek died November 8th, 2020, was a Canadian-American television personality and game show host. He was a host of the syndicated game show Jeopardy for 36 years from its revival in 1984 until his death in 2020. He also hosted a number of other game shows, including The Wizard of Odds, Double Dare, High Rollers, Battle Stars, Classic Concentration, and To Tell the Truth. Trebek also made appearances in numerous television series in which he usually played himself. And the final one that I picked was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died aged 87, was the second woman to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. Nominated to the court by Bill Clinton in 1993, she had already established a reputation as a champion of gender equality and women's rights as advocate, academic, and appeals court judge. Throughout her long career, she was firm in her twin convictions. There is discrimination against women in the U.S. and elsewhere, and that discrimination violates the American Constitution. What do you think they're going to write about you guys? You know, I mean, what are the words that they're going to say? They're going to describe something that you did in your life, aren't they? They're going to describe sort of the energy you put behind. What are they going to say? What are they going to say when your name comes up? You know, I thought about that as I looked for the gospel today. The gospel that I just read is the story in simple frame. It would be the calling of basically Simon, who's later called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and then also James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. You know, the story is interesting because it says Jesus decided to go to Galilee. You know why he was going to Galilee? He was going to Galilee because John the Baptist, his cousin, had been arrested and killed. You know, and guess who they were thinking about arresting and going after next? So he gets out of the south in Judea down by Jerusalem and goes north about 100 miles away up to Galilee, back to where his hometown, Nazareth, is, where Capernaum is, where many large, you know, cities are. But he goes and he starts his ministry up there. As he's up there, all of a sudden, as he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, he looks over, and there is Simon and his brother Andrew. And it says very clearly, it says that they are casting their net. Then it says, for they were fishermen. Jesus goes by and he says, follow me and I'll make a fish for people. Travels on a little bit further and all of a sudden, who's he come upon? James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they're in and they're mending their nets. And it says very clearly that Jesus says, follow me, and they leave both their father and the hired men in the boat and go and follow him. They leave him behind, everything behind. You know, I mean, you think about it. What would life have been like? How would the scripture have changed had, in a sense, Jesus walked up to Simon, who becomes Simon Peter, and his brother Andrew, and instead of follow me and I'll make you fish for people, what do you think would have happened if he came up and looked at him and said, you know, you smell like fish. You stink. You stink. What would have happened had he gone when James and John were mending nets and made some sort of crazy remark like, what are you guys doing that for? You know, get out of that business. You know, I'll show you something better. You know, but take a shower first. What would have happened if after Peter follows Jesus and they ask the question Jesus does, who do people say that I am? And all the other disciples give answers like, well, you're John the Baptist or you're, you know, another prophet or somebody else. But then Peter comes out and jumps up and he says, you're the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And Jesus' response was, you got that right, Simon, and I'm going to call you Cephas from now on, which is Peter, which means the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. What would have happened had, you know, Jesus looked down and said, well, you finally got it right, Peter. You know, you're a rockhead. You think the gospel would be a little different? You see, words matter. And I think sometimes we take words very lightly. But words matter. Words are supposed to build people up, not tear people down. And yet most of us, in many of our time, use words as weapons. I mean, think about some of the things you've said in your life. Think about some of the things you might have even heard me say in your life. I mean, growing up in New Jersey, let me tell you something. You learned how to intimidate somebody else by the words you said. But words are always created to build people up. If you don't believe me, let's go back to the beginning. And God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and earth, he said, let there be light. He spoke a word. And there was light. Let there be earth that forms, and there was an earth. The Gospel of John's even better. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that the words that are supposed to be used are words that honor God, because why else? We're children of God. But how many of us have ever been in a situation where maybe we didn't get abused physically, but by God, we're abused verbally? I mean, it hurts, doesn't it? You know, when you're always kind of knocked down. I mean, think for a second some of the nicknames you may have been given over your life. I want to share some of them, but not all of them that I've been called. You know, I mean, think about it. When a kid is, you know, either way too heavy when they're young. Hey, you're fat. Hey, fatty. You know what that does to some people? Something that carries with them all their life. You see, words were never intended to be used that way. Words matter. But we are the holder of words. So how do we use those words that do matter? You know, it's interesting because I really believe that words are what are called to use to draw out character. I mean, if you look at it, you know, here's Simon. Okay? And he says, to Simon, who becomes Simon Peter, follow me. You're not just a fisherman. I'm going to make you fish for people. I'm going to bring something out of you that you've always known was inside you, but you didn't know how to get out. I'm going to draw it forth from you. You see, I believe that that's what we're supposed to do with each other. We look into the heart of somebody and not just tear them apart, but actually draw forth the character that they actually are, to call them to a higher standard than perhaps they've been. To be kind to somebody. And it's real easy to be mean to somebody, isn't it? I think I've really mastered that. But I want to be more kind to people. I want to look in their heart and I want to say, you know, you really are great. I'll never forget, this is a couple of years ago. I have a habit, in fact, when we used to be allowed to shake hands on the way out, remember those days? You know, I think that was about 5 decades ago. I've had a lot of experiences at that door back there that have been really funny. But, you know, I used to usually say, whether it was a man or woman, I'd say, you look incredible today. In fact, some of you men know that I've said, oh, you look so voluptuous today. Okay? I mean, just jokingly doing that, because to be honest with you, I think that's what part of my identity is to encourage people. But I'll never forget being at the gym one day, and I walked in, and you know, here's all these guys. Some of them think they're buff, some of them really aren't, but you know, they're all there, and I'm walking around, and there's women and there's men, and you know, there was this one woman that was there, and I looked at her and I said, you're so beautiful. And they looked at me like, well, okay. And then there was another man, and I looked at him and I said, you are so beautiful. And then he really looked at me different. And then the woman came up to me a little bit later and said, you know, why do you tell everybody they're beautiful? I said, well, there's enough negativity going around. Why don't I spread a little positivity? I didn't even know what I was doing. But somehow in the midst of it, I think what I was trying to do, what I think God was trying to do through me, was to try and bring and lighten up everything. Think over your lifetime, the words that were said to you. Think of some of those relationships that have been difficult, where all of a sudden, somebody said something to you that cut right to the core. You know, it's funny, because we can do that in families easier than another place. You know why? Because we get to know each other's weaknesses in those places. And when you see somebody's weakness, sometimes you go after that. And not make it their weakness, you make it their character by attacking them. But I believe that we're called to use words in ways that draw out the goodness that's in somebody else. To not sort of, you know, just sort of turn a blind eye to the stuff that's not right, but rather to try and draw out in kind ways, in loving ways, the good things of them. You know what? You can get a whole lot more done by saying the positive things and then saying, you know, here's an area where you could even get better. But you aren't turning it as if you're trying to tear them down. You know, I was trying to figure out how I was going to end the sermon. And the way that I decided I'd end the sermon was not me end it, would be allow you to end it. So I'm going to ask you really two questions. Number one is this. I'd like you to think of a time when you said a word to somebody that what you wish you could take back. I think we all probably have something like that. If you have that time in your life where you wish you could take something back, then ask for forgiveness in the midst of it. Even if you can't reconcile with the other person, forgive yourself in it. Because if you don't, to tell you the truth, you got a better chance of doing it again. But if you forgive yourself of that time, then who knows what doors are going to be opened. We all make mistakes. But we're called to live into a higher level than what we are right now. Being a little bit more what we are right now and a little bit less what we are right this moment. The second question I have for you is this. When have you heard a word that you really needed to hear? In the midst of the darkest, most difficult times. Where all of a sudden, maybe it was even a stranger, maybe it was a friend, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was somebody who you didn't really even know, but you heard the word that you needed to hear. And it's so crystal clear to you. It's a word that you perhaps carried for years. With that word, I pray that you become incredibly grateful for that word more than you've ever done before. But when you get grateful for that word that was spoken to you in that deepest, most painful time, that then you give that word away. Because that's what gratitude is. Gratitude is where you don't keep it and hold it and possess it. It's where you give it away so you can get more of it. That the more you share from your heart forgiveness and gratitude, the more your words are going to matter in that positive way that they're called to matter. You know, I tried to search the scriptures, and Jesus could be really rough with people sometimes. But Jesus never attacked the character of anyone. Anyone. Even when he had every right to do it. He was the creator. But Jesus, at every turn, tried to draw out the best in people. To look at Simon Peter, who, by the way, probably did stink. Probably was really rough around the edges. But he saw in Peter a heart that went beyond all that and tried to draw that out. And because he tried to draw it out and Jesus did it, Peter was allowed to bring it out. Your words can do that much for another individual. Your words can heal. Your words can raise up. Your words can change this world. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.